Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, presented by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com. Well, the Sunflower Showdown, not something we planned on talking about, quite honestly, much, if at all, today. And all of a sudden, it turns into the Sunflower Throwdown, and we're leading the show with it, just like that.
Things change quickly when there are fist fights on the court, spilling into sections with fans that have people picking up stools. I know people were taking some of particular issue with the word use of chair.
People did not like me on Twitter last night saying DeSosa picked up a chair. I'm sorry, it was a stool. Okay. Because that changes everything, clearly. The difference.
The back, it's different. Different weight. Obviously, the severity depends on, simply based on that. No, it was, honestly, it's the kind of game that maybe we talk about for a couple of minutes, specifically because it's a Super Bowl week. Off week, obviously, but the Chiefs leading into the Super Bowl continues to be the main topic of conversation. And plenty more of that in today's show. But when there are fistfights against the two local teams, yeah, that's something and worth discussing. And it's just kind of funny when you go back to exactly what went down in this game. I'm still trying to figure out how it happened.
And that'll do it, this version. And a block to finish. And DeSosa blocks it, and now the bench is empty. Just unnecessary.
Yep. That's not good.
This is a punt call. This is bad.
No good.
Oh, this is terrible.
There are going to be ramifications for this going forward.
And it's just no point to it. Yeah, that is not acceptable.
I would get my team to the locker room right now.
So that was on ESPN last night, Fran Fraschilla. They're part of the call. If you hadn't heard it before, there you go. That's what it was on ESPN yesterday. And so essentially what happened, Kansas is up 22 points, and Dwan Gordon steals the ball. Kansas is just trying to dribble out the clock, right? We see that over and over in basketball games all the time. Just get the game over with. Gordon steals the ball. He dribbles the other way for a layup. DeSosa, who had the ball stripped from him, obviously was upset about being it stripped. So he goes and has a hard block, clean block, but it was a hard block at the end of the game. Then he stands over the K-State player, and that's where everything opened up. He stands over. Some players leave the K-State bench area. There's some pushing, some shoving. Sosa throws a punch or two. Punches, I think, also went the other way. Sosa grabs a stool. Fortunately, Jarence Howard, K-State assistant,
looked like he got the
stool out of his hand. I know some people are saying, well, did he drop it on his own? Either way, fortunately, the stool gets out of his hand, and you had everybody trying to figure out what on earth just happened. And I do think at some point today during the show, maybe we'll learn what some of the punishments should be. But everybody's trying to say, all right, whose fault was it? Who started it and all this? And I look at it, for me initially, I don't have a problem with Dwan Gordon stealing the basketball. I know some people say, oh, that's Bush League. You don't do that. The game's almost over. I really don't have a problem with that. It's still, you're still playing the game, and that's why you answer it if you're DeSosa. On the other end, you get the block. Like, to me, that evened it out. You don't like the steal? All right, I'm going to go block your shot. He did. It was a great block to end the game and then be done with it. When you stand over somebody, if anybody that's watched sports or played sports, if you stand over somebody, most of the time, at minimum, the opposing team, maybe not leave the bench, but the opposing team is going to shove you or at least get in your face for that. And usually it ends there. Unfortunately, it didn't, and now we're talking about a brawl that occurred. But that blame on each side, it's not just on Kansas, it's not just on Kansas State, but I don't have as big of an issue with the stealing of the basketball at the end like some, and I'm a Kansas grad, you guys know that. Like, a lot of Kansas fans are upset about that. I had no problem with Gordon stealing the basketball at the end.
New quote from head coach Bill Self on the matter. I've had a chance to review, as we all have here. University has, everyone has, all angles you could possibly have. There will be consequences. It's only 10 a.m., and we're still in the process of communicating with the league office officials. So we probably will have more information on what happens during the show about what takes place there. But honestly, who cares? Like, that part of it, like, okay, yeah, fine. Steal the ball. Neat. Don't care. All right. Blocked a shot. Cool. Neat. Big deal. Even for part of me standing over, it is obviously inciting part of that. And then the little shove. The end issue is what takes place all after that. All the things before there, for me, are a part of sport. People talk trash. People stand over each other. Allen Iverson walks over Tyronn Lue. And that didn't lead to a fight. All of those things happen in the normal course of sport. People make fun of each other. People give you a hard time. People talk trash. People have stolen balls before. And yes, Kansas players have been attacked for, like, dunking at the end. Or vice versa. Like, Kansas fans had an issue with someone dunking at the end. I mean, if you've got an issue with someone dunking at the end, Silvio De Sousa's block is equally offensive because the game is definitively over. So just let him dunk it and no one cares. If he steals it, do you have a right to dunk, to block it? Hell yeah, you do. He stole it. He's going to go down and play to the final whistle, which we teach people at a young age to do. Okay. He's going to go down and block, play to the final second. Okay. No problem. The issue is what happens in between. And all that stuff that goes down at the end of that game when people are clearly trying to stomp on players and punches are being thrown, and then De Sousa picks up a stool to try to swing it at somebody.
And that's the image right there.
That's the only problem I have with any of this. And even so, it's still just a fight. I'm not, like, my immediate reaction was like, boy, Sosa's gone for a long time. And I still don't necessarily think that he's not going to get punished pretty harshly. Because I still think there's a pretty good chance that there's going to be a major punishment coming down on the De Sousa end. I'm just not so sure it needs to be for the season or the rest of the year. But for a guy who couldn't get on the field before, you got to know better than to pick up a stool. The one thing we've learned in all of these instances, don't pick up a weapon. You're in trouble if you just throw fists. But I don't know. Gold, you strike me as the kind of person who probably has never been in a fight.
What makes you say that, huh? What makes you say that, Cody?
I'm going to assume.
Huh? By the way, Cody,
it's not a personal
by the way,
attack.
Cody would be correct.
Yeah. I assume you've never been in a fist fight. I didn't mean to just assume that on you, but it just felt
it's,
like maybe
it's
that
accurate.
Was,
it would be accurate to say.
I would have said the same thing. I would assume Serta has been in a fight. So as much as I assume you had never been in a fight, and I was correct, I would also assume Serta at some point in his life has been in a fist fight.
Oh, I've been in plenty of fights. I've been in a melee that was similar to the one that happened last night. A couple of them, actually.
Similar?
I've broken my hand, dislocated a finger, got hit in the face with a rock one time.
Yeah, no weapons, right? That's the one problem in all of this. Just fight. Just
well, that's the other thing. The image that everybody has, and you've all seen it circulate through social media. It's on any national publication this morning. The image is of Sousa holding the stool over his head. And we all know, fortunately, he did not use it as a weapon. But that's the image for those that also didn't read it and watch it live or read in the details. You see that and you're like, oh, this kid, immediate reaction for people is he's got to be banned from Kansas or whatever it may be. Like, Dick Vitale went nuts last night, and you shouldn't be surprised by that. But Dick Vitale yesterday, essentially, I mean, this was right after the game. Hear what he had to say about the future of De Sousa at Kansas.
Well, just absolutely sickening, unbelievable. In 40 years on my TV, I haven't seen anything like that unless you go to the NBA and you look at the Pistons brawl that took place at the Palace. I think there's no doubt in my mind that De Sousa never, ever should put a uniform on again in college basketball. None. As Seth said, and I couldn't agree more, he's holding a chair. I mean, that's criminal. He's going to hurt somebody.
That's criminal. That's everybody.
Obviously, he should be punished. The problem is that it spills into people.
I'm not saying he shouldn't be punished. I think we're talking at least five or more games minimum. There's, I think, 11 or 12 games left in the Big 12 Conference regular season. I wouldn't be stunned if it's something long term in that range for the rest of the regular season. I don't think it should be that. But there's a reason, Cody, as well, he was on the floor with 2 minutes to go and they're up by 22 points because this is someone, he hasn't had a huge role on this team this year. And this is a program that has put their neck out for him. And it's a part of the reason they're involved in all
these
allegations right now.
Be getting in fist fights.
And that's why I think there is more of a possibility of the punishment, the suspension that is coming for him and others, but certainly him why it's going to be potentially longer than people think it should be. People are trying to compare, you know, Marcus Smart shoving a fan and saying he only got, I think it was three games or something for that. Yeah, no fans fortunately were shoved in this. There was the danger, though, of fans being injured. I mean, anybody that's been to Allen Fieldhouse, whether you've been there, you watch it on TV, but certainly you've been to Fieldhouse before. I've been there plenty of times. And that area behind the basket is a vulnerable area. There's not only media members right there, but more importantly, it's the handicap section. Right? And that potentially could have been disastrous. That could have been disastrous.
He's like, fights happen. Take it to the court. Stop bringing it to the people. That's where the punishments will come stronger here. If you just throw a fist at a player on the court, most people are pretty understanding of that. It's how badly you let it spill. And honestly, credit to the staff there. Like the security staff, they seem like they got to bust it up pretty quick.
Like, it not a bad so
job.
Quick.
I know, but they did a pretty good job dispersing of it pretty quick. They deserve some credit in all of this because, again, we know that Howard might have saved DeSosa from swing because it didn't look like he was picking up that stool to tame a lion or to just chill with it like he was trying to get out of the way of somebody. It certainly looked like he was going weapon of choice, and then Howard was like, no.
Well, Howard pins DeSosa up against the wall there to prevent for anything from escalating any further than that. I did think both coaching staffs, as you said, with just their handling, not only the security, but both coaching staffs. I mean, I don't know who it was. Someone jumped and flew. I still don't know which assistant coach that was. Someone, if it was Jeremy Case or whoever, like somebody dove in there. They were wearing their suit and dove across. Like the coaches on both ends, I thought, did the best they possibly could when Bruce Weber and Bill Self were both shaking hands at midcourt and they look over and all of a sudden you see there's a melee going on. In fact, this is what Bruce Weber had to say after the game.
I told them to back off. I don't, you know, but he's a competitive guy. I don't want to take that fire out of his belly, but he also got to be smart. And, you know, all we talk about is act right, treat people right, play the right way. And that's been our way at K-State. That came probably, I don't know if Coach Snyder said it, but that's how he brought his guys along. That's what makes K-State special. And, you know, it probably shouldn't happen. So, life lessons, that's what we talked to them about in the locker room. And good fortune, no one got hurt. And hopefully no major situation from it.
But usually, that's the weird thing about sports punishments. Sometimes it often is about if somebody gets hurt or not. And, like, the place, it's like, no one got hurt, so who? But for me, it's actions, like, intent. That thing spilled over. So, and obviously, there's going to be multiple penalties across the entire thing, and there should be. I don't think it's, like, the end-all, be-all. I don't know that. Upon reflection, I do understand that fights happen in sports. When they carry over into people, it becomes a more serious offense. Because you have a choice of where the fight takes place. I know it escalated quickly. He got shoved into, but you shouldn't really be defending people on either side of this. I see Kansas fans who are like, well, he shouldn't have stolen the ball. Who cares? And then K-State fans are like, well, maybe Silvio probably shouldn't have actually thrown the first fist, right? All of those things are accurate. And really, to me, the person who throws the first fist, like the first actual physical altercation, is where these things become.
Yeah,
because standing over him is not the offense. It's when you start, and shoving is different. When you start throwing fists, that's when a fight takes a different level, and those are the first people who typically get blamed in these situations, and probably should. Don't have a problem with steal, don't have a problem with the block, don't have a problem even with, like, it's immature, and DeSosa shouldn't stand over him, but that's to say, well, that's the first time we've seen that happen.
Right, and that's why it would be lunacy. And that's why it would have been a technical foul, and everybody moves on. You see that happen, we'll see that happen multiple times throughout the college basketball and NBA season, where someone stands over someone. We've seen that time and time. You see it in the NFL, you see it in all sports. You see it in the NFL at times as well, and a taunting penalty may or may not be called at the time. I thought there were multiple escalation points. Certainly, yes, when punches are thrown, that takes it up a notch, but I thought there were multiple escalation points. Again, I really don't have a problem with the steal. I just don't have an issue with that because, to me, then it was answered immediately by DeSosa with the block. And then it's over. But then he chose to stand over a Kansas State player.
Like, he could have just blocked and walked away.
The minute you had K-State players leave the bench, that was another escalation point. Then it appears that DeSosa gets shoved and falls backwards, and that's when he started. It looked like there were three K-State players around him, and that's when he decided to throw a punch. So, no, they're on both sides. Nobody is completely scotch-free here when it comes to...
No, they're both guilty. DeSosa, to me, seemed like he's going,
well, and he's going to get the most serious punishment, as he should.
Well, he had a stool.
He's clearly going to get that. No, I also think, what's it, the James Love kid who is he hurt? He's a redshirt, something. He was in street clothes from Kansas State. That's who was right there in DeSosa's face. I don't know what's going to necessarily happen with him because let's say he's hurt. How do you handle suspensions for that? You're not going to suspend a guy who is hurt. And all these guys that left the bench, technically,
if NCAA the Big 12 wants, and NBA have a history of doing that before.
If the Big
suspending 12, hurt guys in like what seems to be false.
But if you're the Big 12, I mean, the next game for each of these teams this weekend is the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So are you going to suspend them for a non-league game? And then the guys that left the bench, if you suspend everybody that left the bench, you don't have enough guys to play. So you're going to have to stagger some of these suspensions as well. So there's some complicated processes, I think, that the guys on the NFL, or excuse me, on the Big 12 office are going to have to go through. And we almost did have an NFL situation. Miles Garrett reminded me right away. I was thinking, oh, this was reminding me of the Miles Garrett situation where he used the helmet against Mason Rudolph. Like, that's where we were headed, potentially, if that stool was used.
Like, I'm always confused by someone like of DeSosa size going to the stool. It must just be a gut reaction. Like, I went to his, I picked up a chair once in a fight with my brother because he was always bigger than me. And I was sick of losing a fight or whatever it was. And he was like, you can't hit me with a chair. I'm like, look, I will do anything in this moment to win this fight. Like, I'm not trying to lose here anymore. So I've been in that situation. I understand kind of the reality that comes with it. I don't understand. Like, I don't think you should be. I think you should obviously be critical. I don't think I'm like, you know, of what took place and all the people. Because obviously when you hear Self and you hear Weber and you hear the people who were in those instances in charge of those teams were pretty critical of themselves and should be. I just think that, like, punishment wise, it becomes a difficult thing. Because if I'm going to tell you, obviously, DeSosa should be punished. Love should be punished. There should be games missed for players on both sides of this thing. But how much? I kind of trust the judgment of a league that I wouldn't typically trust the judgment of, because it's hard to say, oh, should he miss the rest of the 11 conference games? I don't know if I'm there.
I wonder if there's something where we see from both K-State and Kansas, where Bill Self potentially announces his own suspension, if you will, for guys, and then you see the league as well tack on
and I know
a game or two.
Could
it be a combination of that? Yeah. What's your gut tell you then? How many? And it's tough to say what's justified or not, because this is unique. But what's your gut tell you ultimately for? And there's multiple guys that'll be suspension, but for DeSosa, for example, or for the James Love kid, how do you think that goes down? I'll put it at 5 to 7 games for DeSosa, and I understand the precedent before people bring up, as I said, with Marcus Smart, who shoved a fan. To me, this is different because this not only spilled into the section with handicap seating, just because he didn't use the stool, I think doesn't all of a sudden say, oh, well, it's not as bad. Yes, he didn't make contact with the fan, but there was potential for, you saw fans on the ground. And by the way, that photo, I think
in
was,
the handicap section, that's not a good place to be having fights.
I think you'll see a message sent by the league. I think this will be easily north of 5 games for him. And then I think you'll see a couple players suspended a game and a few maybe suspended 3. And hopefully both sides can move on from this going forward.
They're already annoyed by DeSosa. I think it's going to be double digits, which seems strong. It maybe seems stronger than any punishment that they've gotten before. But I do think anytime it gets this big, this kind of attention, that physical, and spills over to the fans, that's when they stop messing around with how long they punish. And maybe that's a little too strong, but the truth is, anytime you get yourself into that situation, it's just a fight. I don't think it's like February 29th when these two teams take on each other again, and you'll be able to hear
it.
Oh,
yes.
Right here on 610 Sports Radio, so leap year day, right? I don't think when it spills over into that moment and those two teams play, I don't think there's going to be another fight. I don't think there's going to be another issue.
Not another fight, but
during that time, there'll be some talk, sure. And there should be some talk kind of going into that game. But in the end, I do think there's a point of like, okay, people fight occasionally. They probably shouldn't. Sometimes it gets the better of them, but people do still fight occasionally. It is in human nature that this occurs. So I do understand that aspect of it too. So I don't want to overblow what took place just based on the fact it was a fight, but it's just like the whole spillover. And the fact that every little thing seemingly at the end of the game built up that quickly just stunned me.
That was weird, too, because it wasn't an emotional, high-intensity game. I mean, this thing was out of reach pretty early in the first half. Kansas was up 39-23 at halftime, and they end up winning this thing 81-60.
Bron's got to be pissed. Best game of his career.
Yeah, the local kid was fantastic. 20 points on the night, and nobody cares about that.
He played good.
Let's be real. We wouldn't be talking about this game if this melee didn't happen.
No, I mean, not for long.
Maybe 2 minutes.
The Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, we wouldn't be
leading the show with it. I can promise you that. So we'll see if any of the punishments get handed down while we are on the air. Reminder, in about 10 minutes, your chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. Cody will have your keyword for that. There was also some baseball news right before we hopped on the air, Alex Gordon, we were wondering if this could go down before FanFest gets going on Friday and Saturday out at Bartle Hall, which, by the way, will have a four-pack to Saturday's Royals FanFest still to give away today on Cody and Gold. But Alex Gordon signing a one-year deal worth reportedly $4 million with the Royals. And Jeffrey Flanagan reporting also, I think this is the more interesting part of it even, is that Alex Gordon waived his 10-5 clause, so he could be traded. And if he would be getting a $500,000 assignment bonus if that happens. So heading into FanFest, Alex Gordon back with the Royals.
That's stunning. The deal's fine. Like, you shouldn't have any real problem. I know people are saying, hey, you're a rebuilding year. Why sign back a vet? One, not just any vet. That's a statue vet. That's a guy who's going to have something out in the outfield with George Brett and Frank White. So that should be a consideration. Not that you should just sign players who are fan favorites just to keep them around. But on the surface, a one-year, $4 million deal for a gold glove winning, even last year, right? He won the gold glove again. A guy who hit .266 with a .360 on base percentage and 17 home runs and 76 RBIs. That's a good deal. That's a perfectly fine deal. My only issue with the deal in general is that it comes in coordination with other deals like Mikel Franco, and then I still don't understand who exactly they're trying to put on the field at the same time. Because it seemed like they're trying to move Dozier to the outfield and put Franco in third, but Franco doesn't rank as a better defensive third baseman than Dozier. They rank pretty similarly. And that put Witt in center field, which again is putting him out of his natural position, which I don't love. Unless they're planning on sending Nicky Lopez back to AAA for a little bit, which they could do.
And that's what we don't know.
But then that puts Phillips in center, and that might open up the outfield a little bit too. To me, it just seems like kind of a discombobulated plan of maybe not getting enough young players in again. And I know you can't just stuff a roster full of 24-year-old players. That's a bad plan too. But Mikel Franco feels a lot like the Chris Owings deal in the sense that Franco had 17 home runs last year, so he still got some pop. And Owings never really showed much of that in his career. He was just a better defender, a better defensive player who was versatile. But three-year deal, like $3 million deals like Franco get in the way of other players in the infield like Dozier. Gordon doesn't necessarily block people nearly as much to me on that end. I just feel like you kind of get yourself in a situation where maybe you're just kind of crowding things with players that are 27 and older and you're not sure what the future is. But Gordon itself, the deal's fine.
Oh, what, 1 year, $4 million.
Good.
Absolutely.
Good deal.
The guy had it, even though it had been a rough couple of years, last year was his best offensive season since 2015 and won another gold glove. I mean, there's no doubt about where he fits in on the team. But you're right. You wonder, I wonder more bigger picture, bigger plan potentially. And we've talked all offseason, you know, about Whit Merrifield and potentially what the future holds for him. And we've heard from Dayton Moore time and time again talking about, you know, plenty of teams are obviously interested. He's perhaps maybe the most valuable asset of any team in baseball right now, given the contract and everything. And his
of course,
age
and Hunter
what
Dozier
he's done.
Should be viewed in a similar light, not because of his defensive abilities, because that hurts him. But if you put his offensive numbers together, he's likely to sign an extension at the same range that they just gave Witt. So 4 years of control at $16 million.
So you wonder, bigger picture there in future. Let's say something at some point in time, whether it's Dozier or Whit Merrifield, and you're talking about trades and things like that, then this makes a little bit more sense in terms of not being quite
probably
as crowded. Now, you still have to move some guys around. But overall, I don't think we've been expecting that. We've been talking about this off air, like expecting this Alex Gordon news was going to come at some point this week. That's what all the reports kind of suggested, that we would be at this point. We wondered if it would be today. Most people thought it would be right before FanFest, and it's a great opportunity for them to have this going right into Friday and Saturday.
And he'll be there. From the reports, he'll be speaking on Friday. So all that's good
as far
for kids. It's not a bad deal. It's just, it feels like they're getting crowded with these types of deals. And Dayton hasn't had a perfect track record of these last couple of years. Gordon doesn't land in that same category. I think it more affects what they do with Franco and how they operate with Dozier. And it doesn't seem like they're taking Starling or Phillips all that serious in this account too, if they keep bringing in other faces. Other than that, the Gordon part of it makes perfect sense.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.